What's going on, Transformation Church, Transformation Nation, and all the people who are stopping by to get a good word from God today? You have chosen the right place at the right time because I believe this word that God has just spoken is going to help your life. Today we are in week 4 of a series we are calling Wicked, and we're talking about the worship of wealth, the waste of wealth, and all of us walking in the wisdom of wealth. And today you're about to be blessed. Before we get to the message though, I gotta tell you what's coming up in 2 weeks. Easter at Transformation Church. Y'all, this is the time of year where we globally, as the Capital C Church, celebrate the single most impactful event in human history. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I would love to invite you, number one, to just go to a church. Like, at TC, we know we're not everybody's cup of tea, but I'm telling you that I want you to get in a life-giving church, face in the place, somebody to see you, because I believe there's an interaction, there's a God moment, a God connection that He wants to happen, and Easter is a great Sunday to be in church. And if you really want to take this experience to another level, I would love to invite you to TC's Transformations Easter Weekend. We have so many things planned. We have such an amazing worship experience that's going to lift up God. And we're going to be showing our dramatic allegory called The Ransom, where we have taken the story of really creation all the way to salvation, the fall, everything, and put it to modern music and acting and dancing. And it really is a vehicle to win people to Jesus that are far from Him, those who are confused about Him, those who have no idea what this whole God story is about. I want people to see this and be transformed. So come, bring your loved ones. If you can't get here on the 20th, we will be showing Ransom Sunday morning and Sunday night, but we got 4 showings of it. Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Be a part of Easter at Transformation Church. I promise you, it'll change your life. Now, it's time to get to the word. This is gonna help you. Get ready, get something to take notes as we talk about multiplication. Let's see what God has to say to you.
So today, I have a message to give to this church that I believe is gonna change your life. And I'm telling you, if you open your heart to be able to receive this today, it's gonna change everything, amen? What's the word of the year at Transformation Church? What is it one more time? Say it with faith. I'm believing supernaturally, you're coming into a season of divine focus for your household, for your business, for your mind, for your life. Distractions, you will be allergic to them. You will see them, you will identify them, you will acknowledge them, and you will not advance towards them. You will be able to divinely walk away from what looks enticing, but yet has the opportunity to take you off a course. And some people think it's a good phrase or a good word. I'm telling y'all, there is divine focus coming to your life, to your energy, to your momentum, to your money. There's divine, somebody shout at me, focus. I'm prophesying to somebody, and there are a few people in here receiving it. Some people think I'm just talking before I get to the scripture, but I'm telling you, there's a divine focus coming to God's people who have the ears to hear things that used to be hard for you to stay on task with. God is allowing there to be a new ease as well as a new vigor, a new passion to do what God's called you to do. The next level of faith is going to require focus for you. And that's why we can find not just comfort, but we can find a witness in God's word. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything. Somebody say everything. Everything. It's time for a lot of things to exit your life. It's time for a lot of things to exit your life. And watch this. God's not gonna take them. You have to throw them off. God's not taking him away. God's not taking her away. Well, Lord, if you don't want me to just remove her, you gotta throw it off, okay? Throw off everything that hinders you, especially the sin. that so easily entangles you. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on who? Jesus. Somebody shout at me one more time, focus. The pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him. So Jesus had to do this too. Jesus had to focus. Do y'all know Jesus had to remind himself the cross, the people. The cross, the people. The cross, the people. I could be the king, the cross, the people. I could call 10,000 angels and smite them all. Focus, the cross, the people. All he did was focus on what God said the end was going to be. And it allowed him to endure the painful parts. I want you to get a better vision of what the end is going to be. A better vision, a more clear, a more vivid vision of what God's saying is in your future. And you cannot know that without going to the Word, without spending time with him. He said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Write this point down. I've given it to you every week since we introduced this word. And I want you to keep writing it until you get it. Fixing your eyes on Jesus gives you the faith to focus. If you make Jesus the priority, he will speak to you about everything under him. If you make Jesus the priority, the supreme, he will speak to you about your wife, your husband, your family, your future, your finances, your frustration. He'll speak to you about everything that's under him. But if it's not under him, and that's why so many of us are focusing on the things we need to be fixed, but we have not made Jesus the priority. That's why I say this every week. Fixing your eyes on Jesus gives you the faith to focus. And one of the things that we have been walking through in the past 4 weeks is we've been focusing on what Jesus says about our finances. And I just want to say, as the pastor of a church who listens to God's word and listens to these messages, y'all the coldest giving church in history. Oh, you can celebrate about that right now, especially people. Y'all, did y'all see what we got to do for a church today? If you're just watching the message, we were able to watch this, go back to the side of town that this church was started in North Tulsa, on the other side of the tracks where the race massacre happened in 1921, where our bishop and first lady were told to go there to reverse the curse. And they begin to plant and sow seeds in that area. God started to bless this church so much that there was no building in North Tulsa that would fit all that God was doing. So God took us to the other side of town and gave us an arena that the city of Bixby built and that is set, and we paid that thing off in 5 months. I just wanna watch. But God told us that our seed would never leave the place where it started. There was a church that emailed us because we got known for helping churches in need or helping nonprofits in need. And the only way we can do that is because the faithful giving, tithing, and understanding of the principles we're talking about of the people of this house. So they called, needed to close on a building by faith, did not have the money. Our team saw the email, was moved with compassion. Hear what I just said, was moved with compassion, because everything that comes in, we can't do everything. But God has put us in a position to do some things, and you do for one what you can't do for all, because that one God will honor. And we were moved with compassion. We were able to help that church, and they are now sitting in a brand new building in North Tulsa. Come on. Now watch. Now watch. Pastor Mike, why are you saying that? Because we were able to do that with less than 10% of the people in this church participating in consistent giving. But can I give you a good report? Since we started this series, people who have decided to tithe has gone up 35%. Y'all gotta hear me. Y'all, Pastor Mike, why are you celebrating? Because the church has no more money? The church is fine. But the people were able to help. The churches were able to help. The ministries were able to help. We get to do more because we honor God. And for years, people are going to still say, it's all about money. This is not all about money. It's all about being a resource. And because of that, because of what God is doing here, and people not just being hearers of the word, but doers of the word, I want to say I'm proud of you as your spiritual leader. Because can't nobody make you do nothing. You have to decide. And I just want to say, I am believing God. This week, I was praying earnestly. Prove yourself to your people, God. Father, for every person that stepped out in this new place of faith, we even had staff members and people that have been attached to the ministry get new understandings of this stuff and start stepping. Y'all, this is not about keeping the lights on. This is about being the light of the world. Oh, my God. And I know it's hard to believe because you haven't seen many churches do it. But we've been called to do one thing, represent God. And at the end of the day, it will be said, when it comes to finances, stewardship, and generosity, that this place would be one of the, let me be careful because I don't want to give no ammunition to our haters. But this place will be one of the greatest distribution centers in the kingdom of God for the expansion of his work in the earth today. If I can just get at least 1,000 people to give God praise with me for that. So proud of you. Pastor Mike, that's how you want to start the sermon? Yes, we doing it. There's 35% more people I'm not convincing. And I just want to say for every family and person that has taken this step, this is the place that you get to step into a whole new level that I'm going to talk to you about today. But before we go to the next level, I got to stop and I got to address a couple of people that may be on the fringe that are not bad people, not rebellious people. They have a real quandary. And I heard it. Somebody came up to one of our pastors in the lobby last week. And I've heard this every year that I've done this. And I was like, Holy Spirit, could you just give me a concise way to be able to share with the people your heart on this? Because most people, when it comes to it, they're like, but it's an Old Testament principle. It's under the law. It's Old Testament. And I want to come to say, yes, it is an tithing is an Old Testament principle. Did everybody hear me say that? I just for everybody that wants to know. But that's an incomplete statement if I stop there. So write this down. Tithing is an Old Testament principle that came through the cross with New Testament power. I want to be very clear about this. It is an Old Testament principle that was passed through the cross. And Jesus brings it up in the New Testament. It made it past the drop-off point. There are Old Testament principles that when Jesus came to fulfill the law, he made some of them die. And then he said, you get a pass. Because they're going to need that over there. Okay, all right. Just make sure you wrote down the point. Tithing is an Old Testament principle that came where? Through the cross. And now it has New Testament power. Let me prove it to you in Jesus' words. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Don't misunderstand, because a bunch of y'all misunderstanding me. Let me tell you why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophet. I didn't come to tear everything up. I said to him, who did Moses go to talk with on the mountain? God's not schizophrenic. He didn't say something then that he didn't know what he was going to say and how it was going to impact there. He made the laws so unreachable that you would not be able to live this life without him. So when Moses went up, got the 10 commandments, they also got almost 440 commandments that they're supposed to follow. And what he's saying is, I'm gonna make this list so exhaustive that they realize they can't do this without me. And some of us geniuses in this human flesh game was like, no, I'm gonna do all 440. I'm gonna do all of them, write the list out, check one, check two, check three. And people, since the law has come, have been trying to work their way into heaven instead of actually relying on the promises in the word of God. So what ends up happening is Jesus says, this ain't working. They can't keep the law. They fighting about everything. They don't know nothing. I got to do it. Jesus, go. And be the bridge to a better contract. The old contract don't work. I need a new covenant to be established. So Jesus comes, dies on the cross, and there are things that were said in the Old Testament that Jesus comes to either fulfill and remove, or he upgrades the principle and he raises it. Everybody hear what I'm saying? Y'all still with me right now? Old Testament principle, Jesus comes. Write it down. Jesus didn't come to lower the bar. He either removed it or raised it. Okay. So I know there's some people that's like, okay, you got to explain this. There are principles that got through the cross. Can you bring me the cross? Because if they see it, I need them. If y'all see this, it's going to change you forever. Because right here is all my issues. That was a nice box jump. This is the Old Testament. This is me trying to work my way. Me and my kids play this game called The Floor is Lava. Let's just act like if I fall right here, the floor is lava. You just stay right there. And what happens is my flesh wants to jump to it. My flesh wants to make it happen. But Jesus said, don't jump because you're going to fall. And some of y'all right now is like, that's not a big jump. There's opposition that is invisible right now that you can't see that. When you try to jump to it, but that's the new covenant over there. That's the new promise. That's grace and mercy. That's God forgiving me. That's everything that I need. And so I can't do it by myself here. So he said, I'm sending Jesus. And what this cross is going to do is not be a barrier. It's going to be a bridge. Yeah. Jesus, I need you to die because they actually can't make it on their own. And so there's an Old Testament lifestyle that Jesus comes to be the final sacrifice, the lamb that was slain. So let me help you. One of the Old Testament principles that didn't make it past the cross was animal sacrifice. So when Jesus came, he said, I'm gonna be the lamb that was. No more animal sacrifice because I died. So you can believe in me and come to this new covenant. And so many believers are leaving principles that God wanted to actually transform your life over here because it started over here. But he tried, let me give you another one that made it through. Because y'all don't like the tithing one. The tithing one, you want to stay over here. Y'all don't want that one over there. I know, you don't want the tithing, the giving, the money. No, keep that in the Old Testament. We are not under the law. Okay, cool. But honor your mother and father in the Lord. For this is right and will lead to long life. Y'all know where that's found? That's an Old Testament principle that made it through the cross into the new covenant. So it's an Old Testament principle with New Testament power. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So I gotta walk back over here and get some of y'all. Because there's some people camped out that tithing's an Old Testament principle. But it made it through the cross. Because Jesus talks about it. And literally when he talks about it, he talks about it kind of annoyed. Y'all don't believe me. Matthew 23:23. I'm just going to read the part. He literally says, in the New Testament. What testament are we talking about? That's over here. It made it through the cross. He said, you should tithe. And literally in the scripture, it just says yes after it. And I love when that happens because it's like God answering the question that he knew we was going to ask and we wasn't even there to ask it. You should tithe. Tithe, yes. That's how it reads. But then he gets a little frustrated in his tone. But don't neglect the more important things. Y'all still talking about tithing? There's more important things we should be talking about. Returning a portion of what I gave you? Don't forget the more important things. And this is the enemy's trick, and I want to expose him today. Arguing about the tithe keeps you from the more important things, which is called a distraction. And God has told Transformation Church this year to do what? Focus. And so I want to just give this framework that the principles that make it through the cross have another level of power when you actually obey them in the new covenant. So watch this, write this down. Don't waste all your faith on the fundamentals of giving. Graduate to the fun of generosity. If I could come to tell you anything, because the enemy would love for you to stay over here fighting about something that keeps you at a low level, and it's fundamental. Literally, there's a place in the Bible that says this is ordinary behavior for believers. This is ordinary. And I just believe there's some people that's like, it's under the law. Yes, it's an Old Testament principle that made it through the cross that has New Testament power. Are you going to hell if you never tithe? No. Can I be very clear? People try to use fear. But the Bible tells us that when we give, we should give with no compulsion. No, we shouldn't be sweating. We shouldn't be scared of nothing. No. I give. I return. I'm generous because I understand who first gave for me. And number two, I understand that this is a principle, watch this, that works on the just and the unjust. Okay, let me stop because some of y'all gonna get mad because you're looking at people who don't serve God, who've cherry-picked the principle. If you go look at most organizations, they have a certain allocated amount of money, usually more than 10%, that goes to charities, nonprofits, widows, orphans. Some of y'all in the business arena know what I'm talking about. They literally have cherry-picked the principle and have worked the principle without, watch, the God of the principle. And still seeing results that we mad at. Yet we're over here arguing about the fundamentals and never getting to the fun of generosity. Okay, because the Bible says in Acts 20:35, I'm just giving you scripture for all of this, that there is a place you can get where you leave the fundamentals and you get into the fun of generosity. Where, and I've just prayed this for everybody, it will be more blessed to give than to receive. Can you imagine that? Because most of us for years, I was like, really like getting. Oh, come on, y'all. Getting's pretty much better than giving. Would really love somebody to give me money. Would really love for somebody to give me a break. I would really love for these, y'all know what I'm saying. I would really love somebody to give me a raise. And when you stay, nothing's wrong with all those things, but when you stay in giving, stay in getting. When you stay in getting, you can never fully unlock giving. I'm trying to break. the things that keep you in the place to see what can I get out of it instead of seeing what can I give to it. Jesus never showed up anywhere and was like, there's a lot of people here. What can I get out of this? He always showed up everywhere and says, what am I about to add value to? What am I about to give? Who am I going to heal? Where is there a need? Where can I be an answer? And until we even start thinking like that, I'm not saying you got to do it yet. I'm just trying to get you thinking like that. I'm trying to get you thinking of whose Christmas you're going to pay for this year. It's April. It's April. You can plan a cruise and go on it for $6,000 on Christmas. Or you can ask the Holy Spirit, Father, what am I supposed to do with this extra resource that you gave me? Am I supposed to answer something that I see around me or that I don't even know right now that you're going to give me the wisdom to do something with? Just a suggestion. It's more blessed to. And some of you are so low in your resources or it has such a grip on your heart that the thought of that feels, watch this, offensive. No, that's what I'm about to get. You'll never say it like that. But the Holy Spirit told me to come challenge you. Because if you get into the fun of generosity, then you get to unlock the principle, watch this, of multiplication. Now, I didn't like a lot of subjects in school. A lot of them, I just hate it. But there was a certain level of math that got me excited. Now, when you got into A's and B's and angles and the things starting to equal letters, I was out of there. It was a wrap. But the place where I felt like I excelled was multiplication. I get 12 times 12, 144. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? You can get. And then there's little tricks that you could do to do bigger numbers and 124. Like, you get, you know what I'm saying? That multiplication, I had that thing. And I started to think about it as most believers live in addition and subtraction. What can I add to this? What are they taking away from me? But Jesus, I found in the word, his favorite form of math was multiplication. Y'all know he started out with 12 disciples, right? Three main ones. Y'all know at the end of his ministry, there were over 500 people following him. They don't even name all the other people. But somehow, everywhere Jesus showed up to, it started off small and then drastically multiplied. Somebody just say, multiply. Ooh, wee, wee, wee. If you get this principle of actually doing the fundamentals, you get to unlock the next level, which is multiplication. So today, for all of the people plus the 35% who have stepped into this next level, and I believe the other 15 to 20% that about to step into it, I want to teach you a principle that you're going to be able to use for the rest of your life to unlock more. And it's the principle of multiplication. Here we go. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. Today I'm going to teach you how to work this principle. Somebody say, work it. Now, some of y'all, when I say work it, there's only one thing that comes to your mind. You just start going low. And all I'm saying to you today is I'm going to teach you another way to work it. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. It says, and the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them aside privately into a deserted place to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. This is the multiplication. He tried to sneak in, and people was just following him everywhere. This is Jesus. And he received them, and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And he healed those who had needs of healing. When the day began to wear away. So just get the picture. Jesus rolls into town. Bunch of people come up. They say it's about 20 to 25,000 people that day. They believe, most theologians, that it's the biggest sermon, the biggest crowd at one time he's ever preached to. He was like, all right, I gotta feed these people. And he starts a sermon series. Not a sermon, a sermon series. How do we know that? Because he said he started preaching in the morning, and it said when the day began to wear away. Now, I don't know what time that exactly is, but if you are at the point where you said the day is woe out, it's probably late. It says when the day began to wear away, the 12 disciples said, we are hungry. This is too much. This is powerful, but we need to go. How are we going to get up out of here? They said, we got a plan. We're going to tell Jesus the people is hungry. Chick-fil-A, Church's Chicken, about to close. People need something to eat. We ain't got nothing here. So they go up to him and say, send the multitudes away, Jesus, that they may go to the surrounding towns and countries and lodge and get provisions. For we are in this deserted place. But when Jesus heard what they said, listen to how he ignored what they said and gave them a responsibility. Lord, the people need something. So they need to go to a place that has it. You give them something to eat. Hold on. Wait a minute. Jesus, the plan was to let the people go to a place of provision. Jesus said, I put them with people of provision. They wanted to send them to a place, and he wanted to raise a people. And many times, most of us as disciples want to farm out the responsibility to meet the need instead of become the well that people drink from. Oh, God. He's trying to teach the disciples an eternal lesson so that we can know every problem doesn't have to be solved out there. There are places of faith where you become the solution to the problem that is everybody else's. Okay, here we go. Just to let everybody know, we're not taking up an offering today. There's no $100 lines after this. We're not doing anything. This is not leading to any place of manipulation. Because I can feel people starting to, hold on, wait a minute, hold on. They're going to ask for something. Don't need nothing from you. I want you to get this principle. Because some of you are about to unlock something that's going to change generational habits, patterns, and mindsets that have kept people from doing God's will. And I'm so excited. Y'all ready to go with me? I'm about to teach you. All right, here we go. So Jesus says, you give them something to eat. Look at your neighbor and say, you feed them. Come on, yeah, come on, look at your neighbor. Pick the other one you didn't say nothing to. Say, you feed them. Do not be surprised. Do not be surprised if God tells you to feed the people he's placed you around. The church should really do something. And they talking to you. No, I'm going to send an email. Oh, I know an organization that does that. Why would God bring them to one of his representatives, let a need be presented? But the disciples had the reaction most of us, I would say. And the disciples said, verse 13 in the middle, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. That we stole. There was a little boy with a Long John Silver snack pack. 2 fish and 5 hush puppies. Tartar sauce. They jacked the little boy and said, this all we have. Unless we go buy food. Unless you plan for us. To go buy food for all these people. So they thought that it was preposterous. The disciples' heart posture is being exposed. The disciples thought it was preposterous to actually get food for these people. What they did not know is that that very scene of what they thought was impossible, God was about to use that moment to create a miracle that would never be forgotten. And the disciples do like us. They was trying to remind Jesus of the numbers. They said, it'd be crazy for you to ask that of us. because all these people had to go buy them food. For there were about 5,000 men there. And back then they counted families. So they counted the men, but per capita there would be 2 to 3 children plus a wife. So they think it's 20 to 25,000 people. Could have been more because they didn't have TV. Some of y'all will get that later. It said, then he said to the disciples, then Jesus said to the disciples, make the problem sit down in groups of 50. Organize your problem. We don't got enough to feed them. This is all we got. Organize it. And the disciples had enough sense to obey Jesus. And they made all of them sit down in groups of 50. Now, this is a miracle in itself. Nobody talks about the miracle of getting these people to sit down. I have 4 kids, can't get them to sit down. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? 25,000 people, no microphone, no LED screen, no megaphone. 12 men, they hungry, they hangry. The day has worn away. Which tells me there's a miracle of organization. Some of y'all are so overwhelmed by all of the bills and the debt and the payback and the robbing Peter to pay Paul, and I ain't never had no money, and I'm in overdraft, and I'm living off credit cards, and you're so overwhelmed that there will be a grace that God will give if you obey him to take what is overwhelming and organize it. And some of the believers' real miracle will not be in the multiplication yet. It'll just be organizing what feels overwhelming. I'm trying to be practical today to help somebody walk into a whole nother level, okay? Here we go. This is straight from scripture. Then Jesus, after they organized it, the miracle cannot happen till you know the numbers. Y'all want to be practical? You don't know how much debt you in. You have no idea what your loan payment is, what your loan payment payoff is. And some of us have believed the lie that we'll never get to that point, so we don't even think about it. We ignore it, and we paying that $26 or that $200. You're just paying interest and sending people on vacation. Have no idea. At least they didn't take the car. You're going to end up paying for that car 3 times over. And by the time you pay for it, it's broke down and you need another one, and they wrap it into another thing that gets you locked up in jail for another. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but the enemy preys on our ignorance. And then the superpower we have of faith to get out of those situations, he lets us feel like it'll never work. And so he steals, watch this, our hope. And hope is the fuel for faith, because faith is the substance of things. You can't go nowhere without hope. And so you're not hoping to pay off that house. You're not hoping to get out of debt. You're not hoping to not live on credit cards. You're not hoping. So you don't even have the faith to believe that God can do a miracle in that situation. And so every time you move forward, you be like, I might as well buy some shoes. Oh, come on, y'all. I ain't got no hope. This house ain't never going to be paid off. I'm going to be in this house for all my kids going to live in this house. You telling your kids, you going to live in this house. It's a generational gem. No, it's broke down. I don't want this. But at the end of... Don't give me your burden because you couldn't believe. A good man, a good woman leaves an inheritance. Not bills. Not debt. I'm just trying to help you. We are transformed by the renewing of our. And some of us, our mind is messed up when it comes to this stuff. Okay. It said, then Jesus, after they organized it, after they got their numbers in their spreadsheets and asked the friend that's better with numbers to come over and have a debt collect party. I just made that up. It says, then he took what was not enough. Then he took the 5 loaves, which was not enough for the disciples. I mean, the disciples were hungry too. And there were only 2 fish, 5 loaves. It wasn't enough, not just for the crowd. It wasn't enough for the disciples. Jesus took what was not enough and he looked up to heaven and he did two things. He blessed it and he broke it. Hold on. The bless was okay. But why you break it? Because it already wasn't enough. And then you gonna ask for some more of it? And then he gave them the broken pieces to the disciples to set before the multitude. Can you just put yourself in this scene for 1 second? Jesus takes what's not enough. They give it to him. He blesses it. He breaks it. And he says, here you go, Peter. Here you go, John. Now go give. Bro, did you hear what Jesus just told us to do? He said to give this away. This? This ain't enough for me and you. Bro, let's just eat it. That's what we do. Bro, this ain't enough to give to nobody else. If we give it away, you gonna be hungry and I'm gonna be hungry and you know he like to walk. We gotta get our carbohydrates up. This is gonna be an all-night affair. He gonna keep preaching. Everything's gonna be closed. Eat it. If you eat it, I'll eat it. You better be careful who you're around. When God asks you to do something that seems crazy, eat it, bro. Nah, bro, let's give it to little, to carry on. Give it to carry on. And y'all know somebody named to carry on. And so, here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Just take a little. Not too much. You see all them people over there? Take a little. And somehow, what was not enough, when it was blessed and it was broken, and it was given away in the disciples' hands, it multiplied. I bet it went something like this. Take just a little. Just a little. This is it. Take some. Yeah, you take some. Y'all hungry? No, come on, get some more. Huh? You need some? Y'all want seconds? Anybody? The attitude changed when they saw the multiplication of what started off as not enough. Okay? How do you know this, Pastor Michael? Verse 17. So the people, they ate and were filled. And the multiplication happened so rapidly and so much that afterwards there was 12 baskets of leftover fragments. They, what was not enough, turned into go boxes. And I don't think it's a coincidence that it was 12 of them left. How many disciples were there? Just to prove the fact what started out as not enough, when it's blessed, it's broken, and it's given away, you unlock the principle of multiplication. So let me give you the points. Number one, it must be blessed before it is multiplied. And the Bible tells us how we rebuke the devourer for our sake and our resources are blessed is, watch this, you return the tithe. I didn't say give it, they returned it. And I'm not gonna preach about this anymore. I've preached about it. I've taught you what the word says about it. All I'm trying to say is you cannot unlock multiplication if you don't do the first part. And I hear people be like, oh yeah, man, I gave an offering today, and they've never tithed before. And I was like, you didn't give no offering. And they really think they did. I just gave an offering. No. You've never tithed. So it doesn't register in heaven as an offering because you've never done the requirement. What you just did was start on the requirement. And what I'm saying is, this is why I'm not telling anybody. That's why sometimes when people are doing them 100 lines and $1,000 lines and stuff, that's stupid. Because the more poignant thing to make a disciple would teach them to be consistent with whatever little God gives them. Not $1,000 one time. Be faithful with 10 every week. Do what God requires you to do. Every time he did, if you're trying to build somebody that's not swayed by economy and swayed by what's coming and going, he said, just do it my way, and I promise you, you'll never have lack. And so what I'm telling you is, it has to be blessed before it's multiplied. Second thing, it must be given away before it's multiplied. Okay? I want you to think about this. And it hit me a few years ago when I was preaching this. The miracle did not happen in Jesus' hand. The miracle happened in the hands of the disciples. The miracle you're looking for in your resources, in your finance, in your business, is not gonna happen anywhere else than in your hands when you obey God to give it away. You gotta work it. Somebody say work it.
Work it.
Say it like you mean it. Say work it.
Work it.
If you work this principle, it changes everything. This is the principle of multiplication. I'm going to give you an acronym that I hope you never forget, and then we going home. We got one more week in this series that's going to be life-changing, and then it's Easter. And what we're going to do is we're going to celebrate all God's done in our lives, and we're going to celebrate his resurrection, and we're going to invite people, and we're going to do that. But what happens after Easter? What happens after we celebrate? Do we make this cross null and void because we stay away from the principles that would transform our lives? And this group of people who have already bought into the narrative of what God is doing in this earth, I'm telling you, I want you to get principles that help you live after the celebration. And today, I want to give you the keys to actually, practical keys to actually getting to the place where you can give and it begins to multiply. The first one, number one, work. Oh, no, there's nothing that comes after this. Say it with me. There is an epidemic in the body of Christ and in the world right now of people who are allergic to work. And I just want to let you know, no matter how much technology comes into the world, no matter how many times you have gotten a check from government assistance, no matter how much your money comes from investments, that does not absolve you from working. And there's this American dream thing that has come into the Western culture that is not biblical, that at some point you're going to retire. You might retire from a job, but you're never supposed to stop working. You, reframe it. You may not need the money, but you need the work. Work was given to man in the garden before he had a woman. He had something to do. He had an assignment to complete. He had a responsibility that was on his shoulder. I don't care that all your parents worked hard, left you millions of dollars. The goal for your life now is to never worry about money. But you still got to find that thing that God has placed on the inside of you. And you got to, say it with me, work. And there are too many people escaping the process of development that God has for you because you have found a cozy spot. Just a little cozy spot. You got some girl paying for all your stuff. Won't marry her, but you're insecure. Got her up there flying you out. I'm sorry. That felt personal. You done found a cozy spot where the requirement can help you survive, but your purpose is withering away because you won't work. And if you're going to ever unlock this principle of multiplication, God gives this to people who work. Let me just prove it to you. Proverbs 14:23, work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Colossians 3:23-24. Y'all, I had to cut this down. I had so many scriptures. I was just going to cut up. I'm going to have to do a series called Work, 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 Work. Because there is, no, I'm not even playing. There are so many principles in God's word about work. And I'm not saying you got to work at a job. But if you're going to be a stay-at-home mom and you're going to be a parent, work. You don't got to be, husband's taking care of the situation. Work, them kids should know some stuff that other kids don't know. No, I'm saying work that position. Like, I'm saying make it intentional. Like, I'm saying don't be scrolling looking what everybody else is doing. You're distracted. And you're not. Pastor Mike, because I don't have no formal job. It's okay. I'm retired from that job. I got 3 pensions. Like, it's okay. But you still need to work. This is the beautiful time where you could go up to a nonprofit or go to that school or actually go to that business and actually be a light in the midst of darkness. Instead of watching soap operas all day, you can actually go and be a light in the midst of darkness. This is why Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, I love it. Whatever you do, some of y'all could just start mowing lawns for people. You like mowing lawns? Go mow everybody's lawn. Don't need no money. Don't need you paid. Go give something. Do y'all know what work is? Work is a development tool to figure out what you can give. It's a reason to keep you in a process long enough to discover what you have to give and then a constant practice of giving it. And most people, why is work important? Because most people would never give what's not required. So the first thing Jesus did, or the first thing God did is say, Adam, get in this garden and work. Oh, and other thing, name all these animals. Zebra. Zebra, that looked like a zebra. Rhinoceros. Think of the creativity. Think of the intentionality. Think of the spelling, the font. He was working. Whatever you find to do, work at it with all your heart as if you were working for the Lord, not for no humans. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward for work. The inheritance from the Lord is for work. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. When you work, it's not about impact first. It's about the investment. All I'm saying to every person in this room, I don't care if God has blessed you to not have to clock in nowhere. I'm not even telling you to get up early. I'm saying get up whenever you can. Because if I could get up at 12 every day, glory to the Most High God, can't. 4:30 a.m. every morning. But what I'm saying is when you do get up, what are you investing in? Number two, get out of debt. Okay, I know. I shouldn't be talking about this in church. Yes, I should. Because there's scripture that tells us to owe no man anything except to love them. Some of you can't witness because you need their money. I can't tell you how good it feels to walk into rooms with people who are loaded and don't need nothing from them. There are certain people around me that know this is the case. NBA stars, actors, da-da-da. Every Christian that comes around them is trying to figure out how they can get an offering from them. Hey, doc, I want you to come to my church. I want you to preach on my stage. They ain't never preached a message in their life. But you'll give somebody a platform that thinks you're going to get into their pocket. Y'all ain't never seen nobody up here talking nothing crazy to y'all. Because we don't need... No, I'm behind the scenes telling them, hey, bro, text me when it gets hard on the road. Hey, bro, watch this sermon. Listen to this song. The only way you can do that in many instances, and I'm not just talking about celebrity, I'm talking about with your cousins that you got money owed to. They not going to hear your Jesus till they get their 150 back. y'all, shut up with all your talk. I need my money. And you're like, come to Easter. Come get my money. And what it does is it shames you and backs you up from even speaking. You see their life being ravaged and destroyed, and you can't even witness. You can't even tell them about the God you serve. Because you still owe them from 3 years ago. Romans 13:8, I told y'all, owe nothing to anyone except for the obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. Oh, is that another one that made it past? See, it was an old law that because of the cross, he said, oh, now it's got New Testament power. I hope y'all never forget this. So that you can actually see everything was, Jesus said himself, I came to either fulfill it and remove it or raise it. And this is why we got to get out of debt. Can I tell you how we did it as a church? We decided as a church that we were going to get out of debt, and because of Bishop's foresight and his intentionality, and I thank God for this man. Because when I didn't even understand what I was about to step into as the pastor of a church, he said, I cannot hand this building over until he has a paid off building. And there are people in here that gave to that building being paid off. And we paid off 1519, and he handed me the keys, and he said, all right, now what you do from here is on you. He said, I've done my part. I've shown you. I've taught you these things. Now I need to work. From that day on, I went to Tammy and I said, I really think that we need to be very systematic with our intentionality around tithing. The church had always given, always met people's needs. But I wanted to be able to say, every dollar that comes in, we're giving this much money away, because we'll never ask you to do a principle of tithing and we don't do it as a church consistently. And I'm telling y'all, and we came in. And some of y'all were there when we gave that first $8,300 to another church on the north side of Tulsa. And we decided every dollar that comes in, we're going to do that. We begin to honor God with the principle of the tithe. And then watch this. We plan to give. We never are surprised to give, because it's a part of the plan all the time. Some of y'all, when God asks you to give, you'd be like, oh, no. Because it wasn't a part of the... We plan trips, we plan outfits, we plan cars, we plan, but do you plan to give? If you knew that it was the vehicle that God used to get more to you, would you do it? Everybody says yes when they see it in front of them. But then my question is, what are you planning to do? I started an actual fund, Natalie will tell you, in our account a long time ago when I had no money. I said, money to give away. We started an account. You know how much it costs to start the account? $0. It was all that I had to start my faith at that moment. This is the storehouse, and we will give from this. Some of you just need to plan to do it. And when you plan to it, you'll work the plan and get out of debt. The last thing that we decided is we finish what we start as soon as possible. A lot of people have grand openings. At Transformation Church, we celebrate grand closings. If we take on any debt, we're not saying, oh yeah, 35 years, great. I'll be out of here by then. The building won't be paid off and the people will be fine. I took an approach that, God, if you're going to do this, we're going to be fiscally responsible. Some of us have big debts as our house. I'm not saying that you can't carry that responsibly. What I am saying is do not play yourself and be in a place where you cannot obey God. I'm just trying to, somebody's going to watch this back in a different season and be like, he was spitting bars. Because what I'm telling you right now, and I know it's hard for some people to see because you're looking at what you have right now. You're like the disciples. This is not enough. This is not enough. God, I just told you last week I'm about to lose. And God's saying, yeah. I'm trying to give you a principle so you can get a plan and a vision of where we're going to go. And I'm trying to give you the plan. I'm directing your steps before I give you the resources. Because if you can get this into your heart, then I can release this stuff to you. And you can walk into another level of walking in abundance. And this is what I'm trying to give you. When I decided that we were going to plan to give and I decided that we were going to get this building, I'm going to tell you a story I've only told a few times. When we got this building, the bank president of the First Bank of Owosso, Bishop, had given me his cachet and started a relationship with that bank president. For about 4 years, I would go meet with this bank president out in Owosso, and I would ask him questions about finance. I would go home and study things. I was got to get my language up. I didn't have finance language. I just knew, can you please let me have some money? That's all I... Oh, come on, y'all. Some of us were not educated in the thing. So he would say a word, I'd write it down, and then and then I would go study it. I read financing books. I did this. When it came time for us to get this building, as a 30 something year old man, we got the loan for this building over a text message. I had built the relationship rapport with this man that I texted him. We had found a building. We need $10.5 million. This is in a text message. Can we have that? He said, done. Now watch. There was a lot of investment. There was, what's that W word? That was put in to get into that place. After we worked it and got the investment, I had the audacity to say something crazy. This was in August, I think it was, when we bought this building, August, September. I told him, I said, we're going to pay this off before the end of the year. We did not have it to pay it off before the end of the year. But I just felt like I had done ministry for the first 4 years of our church without the burden of a debt over us. And when 10.5, I don't know if you've ever carried around 10.5. I don't know if you ever woke up the next morning with 10.5 on you. But I didn't ever want to manipulate for finances. I didn't ever want to feel the pressure and then I changed what God wanted to say because we needed an offering. And so we believed God in crazy faith. December, right before the year ended, I get a phone call and say, congratulations, Pastor Todd, Transformation Church is the fastest loan payoff in First Bank of Owosso history. Y'all don't know when to shout. Okay, cool. But we had a grand opening. And 5 months later, we had a grand closing. And some of y'all missed it just at the end of the year. That big building that God gave us over off of Highway 75, Transformation Towers, we paid that off as well. Guys, Pastor Mike, why are you telling us about all the things we're paying off? Because then we get to do more. Okay. All right, here we go. Number three, this is why I'm being so transparent, and it's kind of annoying to some people because it's like, talk about something, but this is where people mess up. If they don't be transparent and intentional with talking about this, you allow the enemy to creep in and put lies into your head. And this is number three, we remove all manipulation. Pastor Mike, you just always talk, I'm telling you the real deal. 2 Corinthians 9:17, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. You must each decide in your heart how much you are to give. Say it with me. You should meet each decide in your heart how much you should give. Nobody should convince you to give nothing. Not one thing. Decide in your heart in prayer with God. And don't give, watch this, reluctantly or in response to pressure. If you feel pressure, keep it. I didn't say conviction. I said pressure. Sometimes conviction and pressure feel like the same thing. But if somebody's like, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this, and be like, I'm gonna pray about it. Don't do that. But if God's telling you to do something, pray about it and do it. But he said, don't ever do it under pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. How did we put that into play at this church? We made it a culture code. We say we give just to give and not to give. Yes, some of y'all know that. Yes. Giving is a response to God's love, not a requirement for his love. Does everybody hear me say this? You know another practical thing we did? We stopped passing buckets. I almost got fought by all the ushers at our church because that was their main thing. We passed the buckets. If you've been at Transformation Church for any amount of time, you've never seen the basket passed. We made a decision that those who want to give will do it. We not going, yeah, no, put something in the bucket. Take a 20, take a 5, take some, take the change. No, you can come here and eat this meal and never pay for it. And ain't nobody checking you. Ain't nothing gonna happen to you. You gonna always be able to come and eat. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? There's little kiosks outside. There's people that give online. There's people, Transformation Nation, so faithful. They got recurring giving set up. And people said, nobody will give if you don't set a time in service to do it. You can blink and miss our offering time. You can say, achoo, and it's like, and people get used to it. It's like, oh, shoot, I didn't have to give. That don't hinder what God's doing. It hinders what God can do through you. He gives seed to the. I'm trying to get this principle so you can see it. And so because we stopped doing that, it was almost like God was like, all right, I'm gonna blow your mind with what I'm gonna do here. And that's why it came to point number 4. Know when to give. As we have been accountable and transparent with everything that God has done at this church, I think the team told me for the last decade, as a church, we, somebody say we. That's people, watch this, that aren't even at this church anymore. I wanna be intentionally in honoring the people who were here for stages and seasons that were used strategically by God to be a part of pushing this vision forward. I want you to know that nobody that was here in a different season ain't still a part of this. Their seed is in the ground and growing right now all over the world. When we were in Canada, the impact that Transformation Church has had in Canada, I had no idea. My parents was in Africa, people stopping them in airports, restaurants, talking about their Transformation Nation. Y'all, we can go for stories. That seed has come from the generosity and what people are doing right here. And they tell me we're almost at $36 million. Watch this. Given away. All right. It's so crazy. Our culture has been so warped that when we talk about giving from the church being at $36 million, it gives a golf clap. I want you to think about what we just did. I said we've given away with no strings attached $36 million. And it was like, no, don't do it. No, don't do it now. Do not do it now. No, cuz I want us to see how unusual it is to actually do what God talks about. We don't even know how to respond to it because we've never been a part of it. And can I say this last thing? No one's ever given us the type of seeds we've given away. I say that to let you know that's a blessing. Somebody should give us $1 million. Somebody should give us $500,000. No. It's more blessed to than it is to receive. If nobody ever gives transformation, I'm praying it happens. Don't get it twisted. Don't be wicked. Okay. I'm not stopping it, but if it never does, and we're able to be in a position to have the heart posture to do what God's called us to do, then we'll always know when and where to give. Luke 21:1. It says, while Jesus was in the temple, he watched rich people dropping their gifts off in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in 2 small coins. Jesus stopped everything and said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than the rest of y'all. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. The value system is not in amounts. It's in obedience. Jesus brings special attention to this woman's 2 mites who everybody would say, that ain't nothing. Ballers is making it rain in there. People are giving so people can see them. Everybody is out there stunting. And she comes and puts her 2 mites and Jesus says, y'all see her? That's what counts. She trusts me with what she had, with her not enough. And I'm gonna bless that. Last ones. Number 5, how you gonna work this principle of multiplication? You're gonna know that you're supposed to be an impact ambassador. You were sent here on behalf of God to impact situation. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 in the Message. My friend showed me this and it's so beautiful. Here's another way to put it. You are here to be the light. Somebody say, you're the light. Bringing out God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city put on a hill. If I make you a light bearer, an impact ambassador, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? Or hide you in a church, do you? Or hide you just in your house, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you on this platform, on this hilltop, in this community, in this world, on a light stand, shine, baby. Somebody just say, shine. 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 Keep open house. Keep your house open. And listen what he says. Be generous, not just with your money. Be generous with your lives. Oh, this scripture blesses me. Because when you're generous with your life, by opening up to others, look what the Bible says right here. It says you prompt people. You compel people, you convince people to be open up to God. This generous Father in heaven, when I open up my life, my wallet, when I pay for that person's meal that's in front of me, when I go and see who I can be a blessing to, when God speaks to me to go take care of that person's need, when I do what God tells me to do the way he tells me to do it, it opens up people to get to know God. Could there be a lot of people who are closed off because we never opened the door? I'll tell you about one story and then we'll go home. Knowing when to give and being an impact person to give, it's one of those things that you have to listen and then obey. And there's a couple of instances where I know I felt like I was supposed to do something and I didn't have confirmation from God. And I want to be very clear with everybody. I'm not telling nobody to go sell all your stuff and come sit on the porch of Transformation Church. No, and then expect for us to do something that God never told us to do. This is why I need everybody to hear me say, you have to develop a relationship with God and hear for him for yourself. I want to be clear. But there are times that God asks you to do something that's wild. And there have been times that God has asked me to do some crazy giving things. And they don't make no sense. And they have real life consequences. Just want to be clear. There are things we've had to do to change our lifestyle for seasons, to obey what God is asking us to do. But I'm here on the other side of that. Hello, it's me. And I want to let you know that there's not been one time that I've heard God, trusted him, and gave what he asked me to give, that he has not blown my mind. And I'm not trying to tell you to do something to get something. I'm trying to tell you that when you do what God says to do, his nature is to honor his word with his principle. I've come to the place where I don't even look for God to do anything anymore because I know it's his nature. It's his my kids don't wonder if they're getting birthday gifts. It's my nature to bless them. But I believe God's calling some of us into a season where he's going to call us to do something. And the only reason we're to do it is because we're supposed to impact the area, the family, the job we're in. And when he asks you to do it, you're going to have to do this last thing. You're going to have to trust God. I just want to tell you there's a place that you get to give in where you work it, where there's a place that you're going to say, God, this is not going to work out. And he's going to say, trust me. It will not make full sense here, but it will make a miracle. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit. Let him cover you, and he will make your path straight. Somebody say, work it. God brought to our attention a young man and woman who have been working what God gave them. Give me that real quick, Mo. There's a guy in our church. His name is Ray. Ray June. He is he handed me this last week. It's his devotional that he made because God told him to make it. It's a meditational devotional. And he's a young black man who is in love with God. And he's trying to teach people how to have a relationship with God, meditate. He handed me this book, great picture on the back, just beautiful spirit. This young man I found out has an organization called SWAT. SWAT Meet, I think it is. Is that what it is? And what this young man has been doing for years now is it's been going into at-risk schools and on his own money and fundraising. And he's been trying to go be an impact ambassador to rescue young men and women through creative arts. And he's been teaching them that God's placed something in them and they can make music and write poems and do all of this other stuff. And him and his wife just went all in on leaving their corporate jobs. I mean, he's literally done all the different things that he could do. He's been working it. I've seen him make music and mixtapes and go places and sell stuff. And the Holy Spirit told us to honor a person who has done, like, watch this. The only reason I can do this is because he's actually a nonprofit. He went and did all his stuff and worked. So on behalf of God and Transformation Church, Ray, Ryan, we want to let you know, keep working it. There's a check from Transformation Church for $75,000. That's coming to you. Oh, come on, y'all. So you can keep reaching these young people and turning them towards God. This is where we celebrate. Hallelujah. Standing all over the building. That's what it looks like. Somebody look at somebody and say, work it. I need us to get some of these in the bookstore. Because Transformation Church is going to support this too, not just in that. You're going to be able to go and get this devotional in and give it to your family members. And Pastor Mike, why are you saying this? Because if you don't work it, you never get to the multiplication. Last thing that I'm going to say, I need everybody to hear me. That church that we gave to earlier, did you see their gratitude to be in that building? And when I saw that, I knew about the story. I knew that we gave, but they had a shot of the outside of the building and the inside of the building. And the Holy Spirit, when I seen it, I've never been there. But as soon as I saw that, the Holy Spirit said, I use you to be able to help them get into the building. But they need help being able to make that thing be what I've shown that pastor in his heart. So I text the team and I said, y'all, can we make this happen? And so I need Amber Lee, somebody to text Pastor Larry Stokes and Real Life Outreach Worship Center back in North Tulsa where our seeds are planted. And I need to tell them there's another $100,000 coming to them. Oh, can you celebrate? That's what we get to do as the body of Christ. Glory to God. Continue to follow God and do what he's asked you to do. It's better to than it is to practice it this week. You don't even have to give money away. Give shoes away. Give clothes away. Give the iPod away. They don't even make iPods. Maybe you got one. Give that extra Apple Watch. Give that thing you've been saving. Give that hat you love. It's not even about them appreciating it. I ain't even talking about that because the blessing is not in their response. The blessing's in your obedience. I don't got money to give. You got knowledge to give. Where's that young man that you could mentor? Where's that young woman you could give them the programs and show them how to do it? That laptop you was about to throw away and you just got old files on it, clear it off. Put some new RAM in it. Give it to somebody. Work it. Because until you do, you can never unlock the principle of multiplication. Can I pray for you? Hands lifted. Father, I thank you. I thank you that today somebody saw something different. I thank you that the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened and they're being opened. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that Transformation Church does not have a season of walking in your principles. But I thank you that we are disciplined ones, disciples, and we will have a revolution of generosity. I pray that generationally, Father God, we will be the ones to lend and not have to borrow. I pray for supernatural debt cancellation coming over this church, Father God, and the members, not just by somebody giving us money, but give us the plan. Let us work with wisdom. Let us hope again. Hey. Student loans will not be a part of our future forever. Walking with those burdens, Father God, even the relationship tension finances have caused, Father, I thank you that people are getting their relationships back because they're going to honor you first. God, and I thank you for blessing businesses in the name of Jesus. Father, people who have never done things, first generation entrepreneurs and business owners, give them wisdom beyond their years, God. Thank you that people would have courage. And I thank you that wherever you find us, we would work everything as unto you. Let the principle of multiplication erupt in this house and this community. And when the testimonies come in of us being able to be a blessing,
yeah,
not just as a church, but individually, I'm praying for the houses they will give away. I'm praying for the cars they will buy for others. I'm thanking you for the medical debts they will cancel for others. I thank you for the credit cards that they will pay off for others with no strings attached. Give us the ability, Father God, to bring Old Testament principles into the New Testament power. And I thank you. You gave it all for us. So it is our honor and our pleasure to give with you. Do a work on the inside. Change my heart. Take my heart and mold it. And take my mind and transform it. And take my will and conform it to yours, oh Lord. I know it's hard for some of us, but we say, take my heart and mold it. God, I need something to happen in my mind. And transform it. And take my will. Conform it. Said to yours. If you're in this room or watching online, if you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, something's happening. There's a shift happening in this heart, in this house with people's hearts. And I want to say this, young people, get the principle at 14. Hear me, y'all. It's a lot easier to not have to change something if you started out right. It's like somebody telling me they were learning a golf swing and they just started playing golf and they just started doing it and they did it the wrong way. They said, it's better for you to learn the right way, to have to undo everything that you did the other way. And I'm just telling you high school students and you kids, I'm having to teach my daughter at 7, who's an entrepreneur and about to hustle everybody for some bracelets. I'm just telling you right now. Hey, get this principle right now. Because it'll never be a struggle to honor God if you always did. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, today, let him into your heart. The only reason any of this matters, and God's gonna allow you to hear a beautiful message next week that's gonna break this whole thing down to why this all really matters, why money matters. It's really not about money. Next week, you're gonna hear a message that tells you the real reason God does the money thing. And it's way deeper than you think. But if you have never accepted Jesus, you never will be able to understand the revelations that he's trying to give us. And some of y'all just tired. Tired of doing it your own way, tired of going in circles, tired of having to be your own savior. I need you to rest on the finished work of the cross. And I need you to know that Jesus has made a way through his sacrifice for you to have a savior. Today, I want you to give your life to Jesus. It took me from being a liar, a manipulator, addicted to pornography, very dark things in my heart, things in my mind and my actions that did not represent God or even what I wanted. It took me from that man to a progressing man. I'm not perfect. We just believe that God is doing a process on the inside of all of us, but you can't do it without him. And today, if you want to give your life to Jesus, Everything's been leading to this moment. Today is the day of salvation. On the count of three, I just want you to lift your hand. Nobody's gonna judge you because all of us are sinners saved by grace. We're gonna celebrate with you. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I'm excited, but your name is about to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Three, if you wanna accept Jesus, lift your hand in this air. I see you, sweetheart. I see you. I see you up in the balcony. I see you, sir. I see you, sweetheart. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. More than I see you, God sees you online. God sees you. Hey, at Transformation Church, nobody prays alone. Could we all just lift our hands and say this prayer? Say, God, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. Today, I give you my life. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again with all power so I could have power. Today, I give you my life. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, can we celebrate with all of those who make, y'all, come on. Hallelujah. That's transformation in Christ. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to text SAVE to 828282, and we want to walk with you. Y'all, right after church, our pastors and team would love to meet with you right across the hall, about 15 minutes. If you want to come to meet the pastor, some of our team is going to be there. You can figure out how to get plugged in. This Wednesday, the dig starts at 6:30. We have sent youth at 6:30. We have new classes starting out. And listen to me, if you need prayer for anything, I want you to come to this altar or come to the back. We've made it convenient either way. The big banner back there says prayer. There's team members. God gives us power and agreement. If you need prayer about your finances, your mind, you're really battling doubt and depression, I want you to come and get prayer. Online, stay on. I'm going to go to the back and I'm going to pray with you. The worship team is about to sing, and we're going to just sing that chorus again. Take my heart, take my mind. And if you need to stay and worship for a second and let God wash over you, you're welcome. But if it's time for you to go, until next week, go out and live a transformed life. We love you. Let's sing that. So take my...
I pray and hope that that message blessed you, challenged you, and honestly gave you hope to actually believe God for more than you've experienced so far. I pray that God blesses your finances, He blesses your mindset, He blesses your heart posture, because that's where all of this comes from anyway. And I pray that you work it. Whatever God gives you, work the plan and walk into a level of multiplication that blesses everyone around you. You are an impact ambassador. I want you to say that when you go into your job this week. I want you to say that when you show up at the gym. You're there for impact for the kingdom of God. He's chosen to do His bidding through us, and we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. I'm so proud of you. And for everybody that's taken this leap of faith to trust God in their tithing and giving and generosity, I just want to say I'm so proud of you. Y'all, what God's going to do, not what Pastor Mike's going to do, not what TC's going to do, what God's going to do, because He's a man of His word, is open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you don't have room enough to receive. I'm so proud of you, and I'm grateful for you. Listen, if this message or any of the messages that you've heard in this series has blessed you, I want you to do one of two things. Number one, I want you to pray about being a part of this ministry in a more significant way. How can I do that? You can give consistently, not just in a moment, but you can be a part of this ongoing. And you can share these messages with other people. Literally right now, there's somebody whose life would be ripped out of poverty, greed, selfishness, if you just sent them this link. Yo, check this out. And I'm telling you, how will they know unless somebody tells them? And our job is to get the message of Jesus Christ out to as many people as possible. So I'm praying for you this week. I pray you have the best week ever in life. And I believe that God is going to do something very special in you. I'll see you next week. Go out and live a transformed life.